Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tom Thayer.
Oh, no! Isn't he?
Chicago Bears radio analyst.
That's him.
Don't you think you'd practice at home flipping it a couple times, make sure you get it right? It's like a referee in basketball making sure you throw that jump ball up straight.
Tom Thayer, 1985 Super Bowl champion.
We are the Bears, shuffling through, shuffling on down.
Tom Thayer.
Touchdown, Bears!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score, Tom Thayer he's a legend, and he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. I won't embarrass you, Tom, by rattling off your resume. Everyone knows who you are, and good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Morning, Tom.
I wish we had a losing intro and a winning intro, and that, you know, I'd rather have one of just more of a sour approach to it in the morning instead of that happy, feel-good one.
Well, it's a sour morning because it was a sour performance, and I think we understood that the Saints were a good team, but we also knew that Drew Brees was not playing, that their backup quarterback was starting, and I know he's won five straight games, but I thought that maybe he had hit the wall. You know, they struggled a little bit with Jacksonville, and I didn't see him having that performance yesterday. I also, you know, when Alvin Kamara was out, and that's a great player, and you figured that would hurt them a little bit, and then and obviously the tight end too. I mean, there's really no excuse for that sort of performance following a bye week. And after being embarrassed in London, it's shocking.
Yeah, but you know, you had to see, you know, what were the teams after the Raiders going to take away from that game planning, both offense and defense, and you know, what were they going to do to get at the Bears? And you know, they started on offense, and they had number 65, an extra offensive lineman in there. He was reporting. He was going in motion. He was shifting the balance of the offense. He had a tight end next to him. And so it was kind of the template from the Oakland Raiders, where they used three tight ends. New Orleans, because they were down a tight end, they used an offensive lineman and an extra tight end, and you know, making sure that they secured the edges and kind of took away the immediacy of pressure in the face of Bridgewater, and it worked. It gave him time. There was one play that he, on a three-man rush, that he was able to hold the ball for 7.9 seconds before he got rid of it. And, you know, you just see that the non-support by the offense and then the fatigue by the defense. And it was evident when I know if we were in the huddle as players and we looked across the field and we saw the defense standing there with their hands on their hip gasping for air, we knew that we were in complete control and we had advantage. And when you think of some of the times of possessions that the Bears had, there was no relief for the Bears' defense.
Tom, great job on the broadcast. I thought you and Jeff had a really good day despite what you were watching. And I heard you say a couple times and refer to how hard it was for you to watch as a former Bears offensive lineman, a team that seemingly was going to recommit to the running game, run the ball seven times, a franchise low. And as hard as that was to watch, is it even harder to explain?
It's harder to explain because it's curable just by the way you call the plays, that your organized game plan, what you know, opportunities you're, you know, it's the challenge that you put forth to certain segments of your team to make sure they play better so the whole team plays better. In one of the teams that you can go out there and uniquely challenge without them being too sensitive or thin-skinned is the offensive line. So whether, you know, you're always working on better organization. You had a new offensive guard in there, and Rashad Coward played pretty well for himself. I think he brought a little bit more aggressiveness to the position. So it is frustrating, you know, because the only way you're really going to wear down the opponent is beating them up physically. And when they have to try to hold up against the physical abuse of the running game and then try to manage the conditioning you need to be a pass rusher, that's kind of when you control the atmosphere, you control the stadium and the crowd, and you get excitement from the stands. And that's just being sometimes you got to be stubborn about running the ball. You know, you got to be willing to accept the 1 and 3 yard carries early in the game so they open up the bigger carries later in the game. And that's also how you abuse the opponent. If you go out there and you look at some of the maneuvers the Raiders pulled against the Bears and the way that they were attacking the Bears, the Bears themselves could have learned something about the Raiders and, you know, how to use Ben Broniker and P.J. Holtz and is it J.P. Holtz or P.J. Holtz? Holtz, number 81, and even Adam Shaheen. You know, have these guys be more aggressive type of edge blockers if you're going to run that way, and allow those guys to put some uneasiness in the outside defenders of all the opponents.
I thought it was very telling in the post-game Matt Nagy news conference that he talked about, I mean, he revealed maybe his philosophy on running, which he talked about how the run didn't work, which was insane to me, because I think that's the running game, right? The running game doesn't work, and then it works. Isn't it part of it, like lathering a guy up, and then it works? Isn't part of it, yep, you know, keeping a team off balance, and then it works? It just seemed like the abandonment of that immediately, and I understand when you fall behind and all that, but he almost revealed a philosophy that I found very surprising.
Well, I mean, that, you know, it's kind of disturbing when you say it and you describe it that way, because, you know, winning the running game, you know, it, like I said, it takes those early runs that are just a yard or two that can, you know, eventually take a toll on them. Then you start beating them into bigger yards as the game wears on. And I don't think you can ever lose the running game philosophy, no matter how good your opponent is in the pre-tape study during the course of the week or what you think on the field. There's got to be plays designed to take advantage of player strengths. If you're getting ready to play against some of the best players in the world of professional football, then you devise a scheme how to take advantage of them. And this wasn't the best defense in the NFL. They're good. But I do think if you're relentless in your approach of how abused you can get to your opponent, and it is through the running of the game. If you want to pay attention to anything on a defense, watch when they change their stance as defensive linemen. When they go from a wide stance and they think they're going to get the ball run at them, and then they change into that track stance because they know they're going to throw it and they're just trying to get upfield and off the ball, the offensive linemen, the offensive players also recognize that when you're breaking the huddle and you look at these guys, and all of a sudden now they recognize the formation, they recognize they're going to throw the ball. It changes the way, it changes their aggressive approach at the snap of the ball.
You know, Tom, the Saints ran the ball against the Bears as easily as the Raiders did. Teddy Bridgewater also seemed as calm and comfortable and composed as you would want and expect maybe out of a veteran quarterback. What's happened to the Bears' defense against the run, and where's the pass rush, including Khalil Mack?
You know, the thing about it is if you remove Akeem Hicks from the lineup, so now you think of there's a direction and there's a focus in the attention of the way you're going to direct your pass protection according to different guys on the field, whether it's Akeem, whether it's Khalil Mack. And now when you have to work an edge that goes through Akeem to Khalil Mack, one of those two guys are going to get a one-on-one opportunity at the snap of the ball. So now when you don't have to focus on Akeem to Khalil, now you just focus on Khalil. Now you're talking about him facing multiple blockers on multiple pass rush opportunities. I don't think the opponents haven't designated another pass rusher out there that demands double team attention each and every play. And so when you think about that, when you think of the Leonard Floyd or Nick Williams or Blau Nichols or Eddie Goldman or Roy Robertson Harris, anybody who's in there that has that one-on-one repeated opportunity, that guy has to start winning some. some of those matchups, whether it's just getting the quarterback off a spot, hurrying up his throwing process, or delivering with sacks. And so as long as Akeem's not there, the total attention is going to be focused to Khalil Mack. He's always going to face multiple blockers, so it's going to be up to somebody else that's getting those, you know, favored one-on-one chances to win him and get to the quarterback.
It's two straight games the Bears have allowed a 100-yard rusher, and it's two straight games the teams have not been afraid to run right at him. And, you know, it's actually three games since teams tried to run at him, but obviously Minnesota failed. Is there any possibility, would it be a bad idea to get Kwiatkowski starting at a middle linebacker position since he's a downhill run stuffer?
You know, I don't mind him being part of the rotation, but, you know, I mean, Danny Trevathan's playing well. I think that if you're going to interrupt reps there, it's going to be in place of Roquan. Roquan's already taken out on third down. So now if you're taking him out on first down to give Nick some extra chances, then are you admitting that, you know, Nick is a better run stopper than Roquan Smith? And according to where they were drafted, that's not supposed to be the case. You know, I don't know. I just think, you know, when I look at the defense and I think their susceptibility to giving up rushing yards of the last couple of weeks, I still blame it on the offense because there is no time of possession. When the defense is going out there and they're fatigued at the start of a possession because they're not able to overcome the last possession, you know, that's an offensive player's dream is, no related time of possession of any effectiveness. I think Jeff mentioned last night that they had six drives that they had less than 2 minute time of possession. And within those six drives, and some of them were as little as 30 and 45 seconds. That's disaster. That's disaster plan against your defense. So as much as, you know, you look at statistically what the last two opponents were able to do, I still think it's because of what the Bears offense is not capable or not doing themselves.
So Tom, quickly before we let you go, if you're Matt Nagy and you have a conversation this week with your quarterbacks, would you change quarterbacks?
No, I would have devised runs on the RPO game plan for Mitch to keep the ball. I would try to get him to the outside a little bit more. I would create some moving pockets of obvious targets, and try to put him in a comfortable position where, you know, last year we talked all about how his athletic traits were part of his weaponry, and they're not being used right now. So I think if you want to make sure that you put a little bit more emphasis on your opponent having a contained rush instead of a straight ahead rush, then Mitch has got to be more active within the running portion of the offense and be equally as threatening as, you know, the outside the pocket type throws.
It seems like, you know, they're 500, but it feels like they're worse than that, Tom, because of the way they've lost the last couple of games.
I agree, you know, because again, you know, before the start of the season, we talked about, I did anyways, I felt that the offensive line would be one of the best segments of this whole team, and it hasn't been. You know, with the injury to Kyle and the position changes between James and Cody and, just the lack of the commitment to the running game has not allowed this offensive line really to be with the reputation they had coming into the season. And hopefully things will change and, you know, they can, you know, start developing the reputation we all thought they were capable of being.
Good stuff, Tom.
Great stuff, Tom. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right, you guys. See ya.
That's Tom Thayer, the Bears radio analyst.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.